what you say. Out of my way. Alright. Alright.
Hi everybody, and welcome to episode number 37 of Girl Fight.
Yay!
Yay!
My name is Nicole Tanner. I'm your host. I'm back after being absent last week. But as I told everybody on Facebook and Twitter and numerous other places, I have very good reason for being ill for the past 13 weeks almost. So, so that's because I'm adding to the gamer girl population. So there will be one more gamer girl in the world.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Starting in August. So that's exciting and terrifying and all that good stuff at the same time. So
you're going to get used to being sick, basically.
Yeah, well, I'm already used to it because I'm just getting ready to start my second trimester, which is when the sickness is supposed to go away. So keeping my fingers crossed that is what's going to happen for me as well. So we'll see.
Any thoughts of a name?
We're kind of kicking around some names. We're kind of thinking possibly Anastasia.
Oh, that's a really sweet. Pretty name.
Yeah. And then Elizabeth as the middle name. So
no Jane Shepherd or Princess Peach for you.
No. Well, Jane is that's just a plain name.
Plain Jane.
You know, yeah. So
sorry, Jane's the world.
Yeah. Yeah, no offense. Most likely they didn't pick their name anyhow. So, you know.
True.
So today I am joined by Megan Sullivan.
Yar.
And Audrey Drake.
Hey, everyone.
Yeah, we're a little short on the gals today. Christine is just really busy, and Dana is unfortunately home because her daughter is sick. And Jess is at Dice. So that's where everybody else is.
They left us alone with all the boys.
Yeah.
We did.
Quick announcement. Next week, we are going to be having one of our special guest episodes. Megan Gazer, I don't know how to say her last name. But she's the CEO of Her Interactive, which is a developer that focuses on making games specifically for girls. Right now, the big thing that they do is the Nancy Drew games, of which there have been about 20 million.
Yep.
But apparently they sell really well. They're adventure, like kind of old school PC point and click adventure games. And actually, they're halfway decent, which is kind of cool. So she's going to be on here next week. So if you have any questions specifically for her, please be sure to send those in to our email address, ignglefight@gmail.com. And now that we got all that out of the way, let's go around and talk about what we're playing. Megan, you want to start?
Well, I finished Mass Effect 2 the other night, which I'm super stoked about. I'm really glad I stuck with that, by the way, because if you listened last time I was on, you'll notice I was a little tepid about
it. Just a little.
Just a little bit. Just not feeling it too much. But I started over this time not being a dork and actually downloading the interactive comics so I knew what the heck was going on. And then becoming a total ace shot. So by the end of the game, like, I could not miss my target. It was amazing. So really enjoyed that. Once again, BioWare has done the impossible and made me love something that I did not think that I would love. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome. And then I played Ghost of Sparta, some more Ghost of Sparta, which I'm really enjoying. Ready at Dawn has always done a tremendous job with these games, and so I'm enjoying that. And then tonight I will start either Lost in Shadow or E7. I haven't decided yet. So that's what I've been playing.
Cool. How about you, Audrey?
Well, I just finished reviewing About a Blob, which just came out on the PlayStation Network. So I was playing that. I'm playing Dead Space 2, which is awesome. You know how I feel about Dead Space. And I just got my hands on Okamiden, which I'm reviewing, and I'm really excited about. So
did you play the original Okami?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
I did. Yeah. I thought Twilight Princess should have gotten Game of the Year for that, but...
Oh, yeah, you're not the only one. There was a big to-do that year about that.
But I've let that grudge go, and I'm ready to move on.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, what have I been playing? Well, I did finally finish Epic Mickey, I'm kind of lukewarm on the whole thing. On my IGN, I rated it a 7. The ending was super cute. But it dragged on for like way too long.
You were really enjoying the story.
The story I still enjoyed. It was just stretched out way too much at the end, and there was too much backtracking and kind of, you know, doing the same thing over and over again.
So Megan was right. It's a dog turd of
no.
a game.
No, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, you know, I gave it a 7. That's like a decent score. It definitely, you know, had its flaws, but...
Do you think it appeals more to people who are big on Disney?
There's lots of, you know, little Easter eggs and stuff in there. And like some of the stuff that I ended up unlocking was actually some of the old cartoons, like the full ones that you could watch in the theater, which is really, really cool. It, you know, I think its problem was that it was being overambitious. Mm-hmm. It was trying to do too much and then therefore did not do anything perfectly. So.
Right. Because it was trying to be both a platformer and like an adventure game.
A little bit of RPG in there too. And I think it sold pretty well. So there could be the possibility that we get a sequel. So hopefully if that happens, they can, you know.
It's funny because everyone was so excited when they saw the preview of it. But then when it came out, everyone was just sort of like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think the concept art grabbed people's attention because it's really dark and kind of messed up. And it's like, wow. But I knew Disney was not going to quite let it go that far. I just had a feeling. I was like, they have an image to maintain. So, oh, well.
Yeah. The ending was super cute, though. It made it worth the pain of going through some of the game. What else? Oh, I played through the story mode of Little Big Planet 2, which is absolutely adorable and wonderful. It's very similar to the first Little Big Planet, except for they have added bunnies and puppies, which always a good thing. Yeah, there are bunnies and puppies that you can ride on. The bunnies jump around and the puppies walk
around.
Wow. Hopefully that doesn't teach kids to go around riding bunnies and puppies.
Yeah. super cute. There's some new gameplay mechanics in there that are really neat. I haven't jumped in and tried to do any of the level creation or anything like that yet, but the story mode was a lot of fun. And yesterday I was down at EA to see a couple of things, and one of the things I got to play there was Sims Medieval, which is coming out next
month.
Oh, I'm
actually looking forward to that.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. You know, obviously it's not the type of game that you can have a lot of fun playing for 5 minutes, which is about what I got to play. It looks super cool. You know, if you're not familiar with it, it's not just the sim set in medieval times. It's a much more structured form of gameplay with quests and special hero characters.
It has some RPG elements in it.
Yeah, so it's much more directed. And the art style is really, really cool. And you can still customize everything like to the umpteenth detail, even more so than in the regular Sims, because like some of the outfits they were showing me in the creative character, like so they'd have a necklace and a, you know, a top and a dress and whatever. And like in the normal Sims, you can maybe customize like the main color and the trim color. But like in this, you can customize like the color of the stones and the necklace. You can do gradient shades on the clothing. Cool. And
that's actually the funnest part of the Sims for me, was creating my character was like the funnest part of Sims 3 for me. I liked all the options. So that actually sounds really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, the costumes and everything are all, you know, really wacky and well, I mean, medieval-ish. So you can really have a lot of fun with the.
You can go completely Ren Faire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's looking pretty cool.
Are there dragons though? That's the big question.
There are.
There are.
There are.
Nice.
Well,
sort of.
They were showing me a quest where it was the purpose was to deal with the dragon out in the cave, and I didn't actually see the dragon because we didn't get all the way to the end of the quest. But you know, like the guy went in the cave and he came back. He's like, "Oh, I need some fireproof armor." So, but there is a pit beast. Which is where you can send Sims that have been bad.
Oh, wow.
So you kind of think of kind of like the Rancor pit in Star Wars.
That's exactly what I thought of.
It is. And the animations are really funny. Like the person goes in there and you'll see clouds like popping up, and then all of a sudden they'll get thrown up in the air and then they'll fall back down. And it's pretty cool. So that's what we've been playing. This week we're just going to talk about some of the newsy stuff that has gone on, because there's been a pretty big piece of news came out of Activision this week. And that is that they are calling it quits for Guitar Hero.
At least for now.
Finally. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's kind of sad, though, you know?
Well, no, it is, but you have to understand, like, Rock Band has so much more stuff, and it's really well done, and I think that Guitar Hero is the same game every single year.
Just different songs.
Yeah, it's just different songs, basically, so.
I think that's good of them to end it before it got even more to the point where it was like, enough!
Right.
So it's just kind of a good decision on their part.
Yeah, I mean, their whole strategy with Guitar Hero, I think, was just horrible to begin with. I mean, after they took it over from Harmonix. Harmonix made the first two. Right. And Harmonix is the developer that makes Rock Band.
Exactly.
But the idea of just releasing multiple versions every year just completely oversaturated the market and kind of sent the whole music genre into a downward spiral.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. So, what else? Oh, they canceled True Crime.
True Crime Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, yeah.
Yeah.
I never played the first True Crime game. Did you?
I think I watched somebody play in the office, though, one day. It looked okay, but it's not a genre I particularly care about. And when Activision was like, it's just not going to be good enough, it was like, wow, that is not a good sign.
Yeah.
So.
The interesting tidbit, though, is that, remember a while back, we did the episode about the article that claimed that Activision didn't want female leads in their games. So
right.
So one of the developers that was quoted in that, I believe, was someone who was working on True Crime.
Huh.
So that's an interesting little tidbit there.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
So maybe that person was complaining and Activision didn't want to let them do what they wanted to do because they actually weren't doing any good. So, you know.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, and then other than that, Activision lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which is not a good thing, even though, you know, they made some smart decisions finally. But they're still going with Call of Duty.
Yeah.
They're actually, they're opening, opening another studio to work on Call of Duty?
Yeah, I think that was the other piece of news is that they're opening the Call of Duty. I mean, it keeps making money, so why stop?
But I really think it's going to be doomed to the Guitar Hero fate if they keep
doing
Call of Duty 10.
Yeah.
I think what is the last original IP they came out with?
Activision? Oh,
yeah.
God. I don't even know.
See, that's the problem.
There you go.
You don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, I can think of other publishers and developers and people who are constantly coming up with new stuff, and yet Activision doesn't have anything that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
Every game I keep thinking of, I'm like, no, that's EA, you know. Take-Two, that's somebody else.
Yeah, and EA was kind of like Activision a little while ago, but they've started to get better.
Yeah.
Well, when they bought BioWare, that certainly helped.
Yeah, that helped.
Lot.
That helped a lot.
Yeah, but then, you know, encouraging Visceral Games to do their thing, too, has been good as well.
Yeah.
Despite what some of us feel about Dante's Inferno, but anyhow.
so bad.
So that's one piece of news, and this other piece of news, which I guess isn't really news, Fox News is an idiot. Or they're staffed by idiots. Let's just put it that way. So there was a lot
surprise.
Yeah, there was a lot of hubbub about this on the internet this week. Fox News Online ran a story that was titled "Is Bulletstorm the Worst Video Game in the World or Worst Video Game Ever" or something like that. And basically made all of these claims. Like, the biggest thing they were complaining about is that the skill shots in the game have sexual innuendo in them. Like, one of them is called Gangbang or, you know, something like that. And then they talked to this psychiatrist who said that the increase in rapes can be directly attributed to the increase in sexual violence in video games. It's bad enough, you know, that they just slap that in their article without any backup, but I mean, the incidence of rapes has been going down for the last 15 years, so I don't know where this woman was getting her information.
I know I've been gaming my whole life, and I take personal responsibility for all of the rapes and murders that I've done.
yeah, I'm sure we've all done our part there.
Psychiatrist probably has never heard of, what is that game that is telling me about? Water Closet, The Forbidden Chamber. Have you ever played Japanese hentai games? I have to occasionally, unfortunately, I have to put these in the database, and they're just like appallingly bad. So we're going to blame games for that. Blame hentai games. Those are hideous. I think
people should take responsibility for their own actions. You didn't rape someone because you saw it in a game. You did it because you're a bad person.
Yeah. Well, this woman, I actually went to her website because I was like, I got to see what this chick's deal is. And first of all, her website is freaking ugly. It is like someone threw Pepto-Bismol on it. It is all pink.
Wow.
And it's got like weird brown type on it. And then she describes herself as having a star-studded practice.
Oh, a star-studded
in Beverly Hills,
practice?
Which means she's just like psychiatrist to the movie stars, which is... I don't know. Not that reputable, in my opinion.
She's Lindsay Lohan's psychiatrist, and I don't think we can take anything seriously.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That is not good.
Yeah. But like has happened before when people tend to say stuff about video games that it just isn't true and kind of wrong, a bunch of people took to Amazon, where she has a few books out, took to Amazon and gave her book one-star reviews. And
this is not the same person who did the Mass
Effect. No.
Okay.
It's not the same one.
I thought it was the same
one.
Lady who tried to trash Mass Effect and then went on TV and was like, oh, wait, that's not so bad.
Yeah. No, this is a different one. But anyhow, but the people did the same type of thing that they had did to that girl. It was like, you know, I don't know anything about this game, but she decides that she wants to talk about things she doesn't know anything about, so I'm just going to say it's bad. So.
Yeah, that's the best, is when people try and criticize games that they've never actually played. They've just heard all this word of mouth about it.
Yeah. So. And the other thing that was funny to me about this whole Fox News thing is that they're kind of like just centered on Bulletstorm, which if you've been following, that game comes out like in a couple weeks, and it's from Epic, it's published by EA, and it is just designed to be completely over the top, kind of stupid, violent, you know.
It's called Bulletstorm.
Yeah,
your first hint.
Yeah, and the sexual innuendo and stuff is ridiculous. Like I can't understand how anybody could actually take it seriously. Like one of the lines that we heard in the game, we saw a demo at E3, was like, "Oh my God, you scared the dick off me."
I mean, juvenile.
Yeah, it's. I don't understand how anybody can take it seriously.
Yeah.
So, but it's funny to me that they got so focused on that when there's been all of the news about the Dead Space 2 ad campaign.
Right. Your mom won't like this game.
Which I think they would have had, you know, a little bit of background to kind of focus on that and give EA a hard time about that, but they completely missed the boat on that one. So.
No, they did, you know.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of games with a lot of stuff. Like, I went on a rant about Bayonetta, because I was like, it's offensive in, like, a creepy way, whereas this game is so overt and just over the top. You can't take the dialogue seriously at all. It is, you know, obviously these people have not played other games and have no ability to compare it to other games, and so they focus on that when really they're missing the boat on other stuff.
Yeah,
you would think they would have a more legit concern about, but nope. I guess Bulletstorm is just a lot more fun to report on.
Yeah,
tide goes in, tide goes out. You can't explain it. Bill O'Reilly for that.
Yeah. And the Epic didn't actually respond in the article, although they said that they tried to contact them. However, Cliffy B did do, I think it was an interview, it was on computeranddvideogames.com, where he said that he actually feels like these people have made video games into the new rock and roll, basically. That it's, you know, it's the thing that everybody's scared of.
Right, it's like rap music. It'll, cause you to do crime and rape and murder and, you know.
I think the lesson is that no matter how bad the music or the movies or the games are, there's always going to be crime and there's always going to be someone trying to blame it on someone else.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Making something out of nothing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I almost think it's like Fox News has like a quota. So it's like, we haven't done a story about violent video games this month. Get on that, you know? So.
Exactly.
It's just an easy target. Video games are an easy target for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully that will start to change. Because it's so frustrating when you see those articles. Like Dana and I, we're like reading it the other day. We're like, oh my God, did you see the part that So.
Well, I want to know, how are they directly correlating it to video games? Like, have all of these people who are raping everyone, have they never watched a violent movie or TV show or listened to
You know what?
Music?
Like I said, that woman, I have no idea what's going through that woman's head.
It's just so unfounded. It makes me mad.
It's rather specious reasoning. Yeah. It's, you know. I mean, I grew up with James Cameron movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw Aliens. I saw Terminator. I've never picked up a gun in my life, you know? Yeah. I've seen RoboCop, which was a big controversy. I played Mortal Kombat, which was hugely controversial. I've never hurt anyone that I know of because of these things. So I just feel like it's low-hanging fruit. So like this law with the video games and everything like that, it's just easy for adults to exploit. Even though, like we've said it over and over again on this show, the average age of video game players is now 34 and up. Mm-hmm. So the thing we can work on, I think, on our side of the industry is just getting that out there that, you know, things like L.A. Noire, things like Mass Effect, they're really not aimed at kids.
Well, that's why they have ratings on them.
Yeah.
You know, just read the rating and then you're okay.
Yeah. But you'd be amazed at how many parents are just like, Then, you know.
Yeah. Most parents are scared, I think. And, but like I said, hopefully that'll be changing because we've got gamers who are becoming parents now.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
But yeah, back to your point about like growing up with like Terminator stuff. Like when I was little, the stuff that I really liked were like the super gory, scary slasher flicks, like Halloween and stuff like that.
I was a huge Friday the 13th fan.
Yeah, Friday the 13th and all those kinds of things. I loved those movies when I was little. But yeah, they didn't have any effect on me. I didn't go around murdering people.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to go home and like chop up a bunch of necromorphs tonight. But that doesn't translate into I'm going to go and hack up real life people.
Yeah.
Exactly. Doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Fox News, once again, has proved their idiocy. No offense out there to anybody who likes Fox News.
Although I got to ask, why do you like Fox News? What is that? My dad likes Fox News. And we're just like, oh, no. Yeah. No, the birther conspiracy. No, video games and the thing with the tide. I cannot get over that. I'm sorry, I cannot get over that. I'm just like, tide goes in, tide goes out. Yes. I can't explain that. Yeah. Oh, Riley, no.
Yeah.
Didn't really say that.
Stephen Colbert has been making fun of him quite a bit lately with the whole thing there, which has been hilarious.
I have missed him the past couple weeks, and now I'm sorry that I have, because that would be really funny.
Yeah. Okay, so one more thing I'm just going to bring up quickly. The Dice Summit is going on this week, and it's not something that is super highly publicized for most people who are consumers of games and not in the industry, but it's basically kind of like a creative think tank sort of thing where really well-known developers give panels and stuff to other developers, and I think it actually stands for Design, Innovate, Create, and I forget what the E stands for.
Oh, you were halfway there.
Yeah, I know.
You're almost there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not hugely advertised. It's not like a huge
event. Well, I mean, it's really for people just in the industry.
Right.
There aren't a lot of press that go to it either. But as part of that, tonight, actually, the Interactive Achievement Awards are being handed out. And these are the real gaming awards, not like our wonderful Spike VGAs.
So
these gaming awards are voted on by the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences, whose members are other people who make games. So it's really a peer award thing. It's like the video games Oscars, basically, is what it is. And the reason why I wanted to bring it up is because G4 is actually going to air it this year.
Huh.
Not tonight, but it'll be on Sunday. So watch it if you can, because that's the only way we're going to get more traction for real award shows as opposed to...
But this isn't the one... What's the one I'm thinking of where you have to be a member? Like, you have to pay to be a member in order to get nominated?
That's it. But it's not... I mean, you have to do the same thing for movies and the Oscars. They have to be a member of the Academy to be able to be nominated. I mean, it's no different than any other form of entertainment, you know, for the Grammys, musicians have
to be. It's interesting. I read somewhere though that Rockstar and I think BioWare both, either last year or this year, didn't want to pay, so they're not going to be nominated despite having the top video games.
Oh, no, that was, I think that was the Writers Guild of America.
Oh, that was the Writers Guild of America? Okay.
Yeah, because they just started, which is actually really encouraging, they started recognizing video game writing. They typically only do TV and movie writing.
Right.
But again, it's like, the writers on TV and movie, like, they have to be a member of that guild.
Right.
And they end up paying, like, I think it's like a percentage of their salary, which can end up being like $100,000 or something. So to ask a huge video game company to pay $60, I think is not
true.
That bad.
That's true.
You know?
That's very true.
So I'm just happy that there's. I mean, I wish people wouldn't whine about that, because it's nice that they're starting to recognize games.
Yeah,
it's a good step
as a medium.
For the industry.
Yeah. So. But yeah, I mean, you have to. If you work in Hollywood, you have to be a member of a union of some sort, whether it's the Writers Guild, or the Directors Guild, or the Screen Actors Guild.
Screen Actors Guild. Yeah.
So, and they all take percentage of salaries. Yeah.
I know in voice acting you can do non-union, but if you want millions of dollars, you got to go join SAG or something like that. So
there you go. I guess you can technically not join them, but the odds of you getting any good work is going to be
zero.
Exactly.
There's been talk about unionizing the game industry here and there, especially with all the stuff about, like, oh, there's too much overtime and all that kind of stuff. But, I don't know. I don't know how many game developers would want to give a percentage of their salary to a
union. I doubt they would. Yeah. Especially small devs.
Yeah.
Be tragic for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be hard for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what's going on. So G4 Sunday, I believe it's 4 p.m. Eastern time, which is 1 p.m. Pacific. Yeah. And for those of you who are overseas, if you even get G4, I don't even know if you would. You just have to check your local listings, but I encourage everybody to watch that.
Yeah.
Because it will be the real games getting recognized there.
Yeah.
So, wow, we're moving through this very quickly. That's what happens when you only have three girls
talking. That is true. It is more efficient.
But I've got a big stack of questions.
That is a giant stack.
Which we can go through. And this isn't even all of them. There's still probably about 50 I haven't printed out yet.
Yeah, this is good. It gives us a chance to catch up with everyone's questions.
Yeah. Okay. So first question comes to us from What Age? I don't know if that's a name or not. And I also don't know if it's male or female. But anyhow, this person wants to know, why do games on consoles have game-breaking bugs or glitches? And this person goes on to say they understand it could happen on PCs because of all the different OSs and video cards and all that kind of stuff. But says it's their understanding that the internal parts of the console, you know, they're the same all around. I'll speak to this because I actually have a little bit of a development background. There are many, many, many things that cause a game to crash, and very few of them have anything to do with the platform that they're on. I don't know if you people out there have ever seen what game code actually looks like, but,
enlighten us.
Yeah. Picture like HTML, but like three times more nonsensical looking.
Whoa.
And there's tons of it. I mean, tons. You're talking about millions and millions and millions of lines.
Wow.
And making everyone's brain hurt. Stop.
Yeah.
I used to have an HTML site in high school. And man, I hated that thing. I hated HTML, so I can imagine.
Yeah. And I mean, like, for example, like the littlest things can break a game. So say you've got a character, you know, in a platformer or whatever, and the artist accidentally has rendered the character bigger than it's supposed to be. So when it's imported into the game, its feet are below the ground. So when you go to jump, the feet don't clear the ground, and therefore when the game is trying to calculate where it should land, it's trying to divide things by zero, which you can't do. And then it gets caught in a loop, and that's why it crashes. So that's just one little example of what can go wrong. And, I mean, that can be as easy as somebody just inputting a wrong number in one little part of the code. So game development is really complicated. And
that's why.
Yeah.
That is why Fallout 3 kept crashing.
Yeah, and, I mean, a game like that is so unbelievably huge. Like, you know, it's practically impossible to test everything. Because, I mean, if you could imagine, like, you'd have to test a character doing everything in the entire game with every weapon and every outfit, every different perk, every different combination of leveled up skills. And, you know, it's just
not possible.
Yeah. It's insane. And also, too, unfortunately, games lots of times don't have enough time in test. Because they always tend to be, you know,
crunched at the end. Mm-hmm. So the time that gets taken away is from tests, unfortunately. So that's why lots of bugs aren't found. But anyhow, so that's it. Games, really, really complicated, and it doesn't have anything to do with platform. Okay, next question comes to us from Eric. Eric says he's currently a math major with an econ minor, and he wants to work in the game industry. He says he's going to econ in grad school. I was wondering if we all knew some sort of job that he could do within the industry. Well, I would say like the financial analyst type people, like a Michael Pachter or those guys.
Yeah.
And also too, like if you are into reporting, more and more there's people focusing on the business side of games. Like the Wall Street Journal covers games, but they cover the business side of things. So
yeah, this is definitely something you could do.
Yeah, for sure. All right, next question comes to us from Derek. Derek wants to know if any of us had read any of the Mass Effect books and what we have thought about them. Damn it, where is Christine?
I haven't read the Mass Effect books. I have read the Dragon Age books.
What did you think of those?
Nope. I mean, I think the person who did some of the writing for Dragon Age actually tried to do the book, and it's a totally different format writing a game writing a book, and he admitted it was like the hardest thing he's ever had to do because
the Mass Effect books are the same way. It's the person that wrote the game
and it doesn't translate exactly because they're not used to being a full-on author, so mm-hmm. when you read the books you can see them typing in code or something. You can actually see that.
Can you see the text boxes?
You could actually see the text boxes. It was like HTML but a lot more of it. But it's not bad, but it is part of what makes the writing good is also the voice acting. Mm-hmm. They always hire very dynamic voice actors to deliver the lines. Yeah. So you can read it a certain way in your head and you'll kind of laugh, but the way that voice actors deliver the lines makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So it didn't quite translate. I'm not going to say it was bad, but if you're not a super diehard fan, you might be like, ew.
Do you read much other fantasy genre stuff?
I'm a huge fan of George R.R. Martin, Robert Jordan. So I do know the whole fantasy thing.
Yeah, because I was just wondering, you know, what would you think of it if you could detach it from...
I would like it even less, to be honest. The writing is not up to... If you compare it to someone like George R. R. Martin, there's just no comparison.
Okay.
So, yeah, if they're trying to be on that level, they're way behind that. Yeah. But for what it is, it's not bad. It's kind of entertaining.
Yeah. Okay. Next question comes to us from Jason. Jason says he really likes Mass Effect 2. He was thinking about buying Dragon Age, but he wants to know what similarities did we find between both games? I can't talk today. And it's his pregnancy brain already. It's
pregnancy brain.
It's true. Nice. That's a true.
That sounds frightening.
Thing. It's like you get more forgetful and just kind of
baby sucks in your brain power.
It does.
That's a video game right there.
Well, he wants to know some things that Dragon Age does better and vice versa. Some things that Mass Effect does better. I think Dragon Age does humor better.
Yes, it does do humor better. The characters are, both of them have very diverse. But I do think the humor is better in Dragon Age. I think the romances are better because you can have a romance earlier in Dragon Age. So if you want to romance, say, Alistair, that you hit the halfway point and you can... Yeah. If you're clever, you can find a way to sleep with these characters early on and continue to develop the relationship, which is really cool. Whereas in Mass Effect, you can't get any action till the very end, which really frustrated me. I was like, come on, Garrus, what's up with you? But I mean, it's pretty cute. Like they BioWare has figured out like a formula for romances. Mm-hmm. So that part is also really good. Although in Mass Effect, it's a little weird because if you're a female Shep, like my Amanda Shepherd had the choice of Jacob, who's human but boring, Garrus is an insect, and Thane, who's a lizard, snake, frog thing. So I think the romance and the humor is a little bit better in Dragon Age. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I'm going to say this because I don't normally like shooters. I think the gameplay overall in Mass Effect 2, like that's their AAA team, so that was a lot smoother and a lot more fun. Yeah. But
Yeah, I think I would agree with you there. I definitely like that you could romance people early in Dragon Age, because it was so funny because I romanced Alistair, like you said, about halfway point. And then afterwards, anytime I went up to him to talk to him, his response to me would be, yes. It was so hilarious.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's really romantic, too, because it'd be like, if you talk to him while you're walking around, he'd go, my love.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. It's very good. Very good writing, where you don't get that in Mass Effect. And they don't have as much talking when they run around.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Dragon Age, some of like...
Oh, yeah, the background chatter.
The background chatter is hysterical. Whereas in Mass Effect, there's not as much of it. And the characters all tend to say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually saw something on YouTube where, like, 8 people have the same response to this one scene in Mass Effect, whereas in Dragon Age, it'll be completely different responses and reactions by completely different characters.
Mm-hmm.
And since the story is not great or super original in Dragon Age, it's really imperative that you have like that background chatter.
Yeah.
And kind of in Mass Effect too, because it's mostly a go fetch people quest.
Yeah.
Like, the story doesn't get awesome till the end where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at end of the day, they're both really good. I would recommend them both.
Yeah. So. BioWare is awesome. Keep making games, BioWare.
All right. Next question comes to us from Brad. Brad wants to know if any of us have tried this new thing called Minecraft. I have not.
I have not. I have heard
have
of
not.
It.
I'm really interested in it, though, because I've seen some really cool Zelda levels, actually.
Oh,
but I'm
yeah?
like, okay, I'm going to hop on board that at some point.
Yeah. I've heard it's pretty hardcore, though. Like, there's like a lot that you have to learn before you can even do
anything.
It's just
so impressive that it's one guy's game, and then he took this idea, an idea that I'm sure all of us have thought of before, and he just made it happen. That's really impressive.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah. So sorry. No, we don't have much to say about that.
Is there a closed beta or something going on right now for it? Or
no, it's just out.
It's already out?
Yeah, it's just out. Because, like she said, it's just a guy who just released it.
All right.
Like, there's no publisher or anything, so...
And now that guy's rich.
Yes, exactly. Okay, next question comes to us from Jenny. Jenny wants to know, how do I get my boyfriend to play video games with me that I want to play instead of always video games that he wants to play that I'm not really interested in? And if we have any game recommendations, that would be cool as well. Well, it's hard to make recommendations without knowing which games you are actually into. But I'm just going to go for the... stereotypical, let's assume the boyfriend is into FPSs and the girlfriend is into more, I don't know,
adventure, puzzle, RPG
stuff. Yeah. But as far, I think it's a compromise as far as getting him to play games with you. Like if you're always playing games with him that he likes, like, just say, no, I'm not going to play any more of these games until you play something that I want to play. Sure. I mean, I do that with my husband all the time. So,
You know, another thing you could do is maybe while he's playing whatever he likes on the big screen, you can play your portable for a while and then switch, or just find a way to divvy it up.
Yeah. Game recommendations.
So something obviously co-op would be good.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, she doesn't say for sure whether she doesn't like
competitive.
Yeah,
it's hard to know without knowing what kind of games each of them
likes. It's hard
to
say, do you like fighting games? Do you like adventure games? Do you like puzzle games?
And recommendations is really hard because there are a million good games in the world.
Yeah,
so.
there definitely are.
Yeah, so sorry we couldn't help you more with that. If you want to write back in and say what it is that you're into, we'll respond.
If you like racing games, I highly recommend Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. That was actually really fun.
Cool. Next question comes to us from Caroline. Caroline is a gamer girl who's hoping to break into the gaming industry. She's currently a college student studying journalism in New York City and interning at UGO this spring. And she's wondering if there was any advice we could give to her just to kind of keep her foot in the door and really get into the industry. Well, it sounds like you're doing everything right thus far.
Mm-hmm.
Studying journalism and getting an internship, that's going to be huge.
And
I mean,
just keep up on the news of the video game industry. You know, you have to know about all of it, not just your favorite systems. Like, I know things other than Nintendo, might surprise people, but I do. And, just write about games if you can. Start a blog, start a Twitter, Facebook, just get out there.
You can do some freelancing. That's good experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think you're on the right track.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Next question comes to us from Melissa. Melissa wants to know if any of us are looking forward to BioWare's upcoming MMO, Star Wars Old Republic. And she says she really liked the story and relationships between characters in both Mass Effect and Dragon Age, and hopes that element is strong in the Old Republic. I don't know how much of that element can actually be in an MMO, though.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know if there's any. Is there?
You're interacting with other people's characters as opposed to NPCs most of the time.
Yeah.
And with that said, I don't know anything about Old Republic at this point, so who knows?
I don't care about Star Wars anymore, so I'm out.
Yeah.
It sounds interesting. I'm just not that into MMOs. Nothing against the genre. I know it's really cool. A lot of people love it. It doesn't really speak to me, which is kind of a bummer. I was really excited about DC Universe Online, because I love superheroes. I love reading comics and watching the shows and all of that. But even Batman could not keep me interested in an MMO, which says something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not into MMOs either. Yeah. And you know, I mean, BioWare is making it, so hopefully it would be good. However, they have not made an MMO before, so we'll see.
Yeah.
But like you said, Star Wars is kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of burned out on Star Wars.
Yes. After the first three movies, I don't care about anything.
Okay, next question comes to us from Timothy. Timothy wants to know what we think about the fact that Rush Limbaugh is on our side when it comes to the Supreme Court case. I think it's
baffling.
Yeah, baffling for one. But I'm not gonna, you know, throw him to the wolves. Yeah. He wants to be on our side.
Yeah,
all the better.
It.
Yeah. I don't typically like Rush Limbaugh, but you know,
sort of inadvertently on our side.
Yeah.
Just doesn't like big government stuff.
Yeah.
And also, he's an idiot.
All right. Next question comes to us from Jason. Jason. I was talking about the Black Ops commercial, the one that ran that didn't have any gameplay footage. You know, it was just a bunch of people actually shooting. Mm-hmm. He wants to know if we think that game commercials should absolutely include gameplay footage.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's definitely helpful for telling if you want to buy that game. It's like, wow, I'm not going to be buying that commercial. I want to buy the game. What's it going to be like?
Yeah, although I think something like Call of Duty... Like, I think everybody knows what that game is like, so I don't think it's as necessary.
Yeah. Well, and there's some, it depends. Like, the RE5 trailer a long time ago was really cool. The game wasn't as cool, but that was an example where from just watching the trailer, even though it didn't include gameplay, you could still sort of tell what the game was going to be like, what it was going to look like. So sometimes it works.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think you always have to have gameplay in the commercial because, quite frankly, gameplay, straight gameplay, doesn't always translate really well to, like, a short 30-second, you know, thing. So it might actually hurt the game more than helping it, even if it's a good game. So, you know, I don't mind. I don't really pay attention to game commercials anyhow. So, I mean, if you're buying a game because of a commercial, I don't know what to tell you. okay, so next question comes to us from Paul. Paul says he always reads reviews of games and he's never liked the numbered score. He was wondering if any of us are personally fans of the number system, or would we prefer to just have the text of the review? I'm kind of mixed on that, because like I understand... Some people just want to get in and get out, find out in quick glance whether or not this game is worth their time.
Right.
However, as a writer, it would be nice if people actually read the words that I wrote.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
so.
Exactly.
Obviously, if you're listening, you're a fan of IGN, but I beg you to please read the reviews all the way through. Reading people's comments is just, I just want to like facepalm myself, because it's like you obviously didn't read the review. You just saw 7.9 and flipped out.
Yeah.
You know, so even if you disagree with us, I beg you to read the review before you comment.
Mm-hmm.
It would support your argument, but also it would prove that you are not a complete idiot.
Yeah. And we're doing a better job, too, now of having multiple people look over the reviews before they go up and kind of making sure that the score does match.
And we
do
have second opinions that go up for games, which offers a different perspective. So,
so
we do the best we can.
It is rough when people just read the number and don't read the content, because there's a lot of detail in there that sort of explains why you gave it that score.
Yeah.
But I do understand why it's there. Like, I understand, you know, there have been reviews that I've just skipped to the score because maybe it's a game I'm sort of interested in, but I don't want to invest, you know, reading that much about. So I just want to be like, okay, is this complete crap or should I give it a chance?
That's right. So. Yeah. I don't think scores are going anywhere. Added to which, the publishers and developers are completely fixated on scores to
what would they put on their box?
An unhealthy degree. Yeah. And Metacritic and all those things, they pay way too much attention to that stuff. Okay. Next question comes to us from Frank. Frank says, as women who love video games, especially those that allow you to immerse yourself in its world and customize your characters, like Fallout, Dragon Age, WoW, if we took a piece of armor tailored for a male character and put it on our female character, would we expect it to be altered stylistically so that it is more sensible for a woman? Or would you expect the style of the suit to be identical, even if it had, let's say, a giant crotch piece?
I would expect it to be bright pink with hearts and kitties all over it.
That is what I did for my femme chef. I gave her a bright pink N7 suit, and I am not ashamed to say so. She had a princess suit on the whole time.
Yeah. I think it should transform to at least the body type.
Shape. Yeah.
Because, and I've said this on the show before, my big, huge complaint with Fable 2 was that when you upped your strength, your female character
was a Hulk.
Yeah, and it was just...
Mine had to constantly go on a diet. Yeah. Like, she had to eat carrots all day because otherwise she'd look like the Hulk.
Yeah, I mean, mine wasn't fat at all. Like, there was no fatness. It was just... And there was nothing I could do except for go into my stats and lower my strength to make her look better. And I know that that's kind of a really superficial thing, but it made it less fun to play because...
Well, that's how you're supposed to be imagining that you're
Exactly. Yeah. So I would want it to kind of fit at least, you know, the character's figure.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to magically
turn into a half skirt a la 10-2 or... 13-2, or you just, you know, you have this sexy outfit on. I mean, it can be practical, but it also, certain things, women and men, they're different. And
just like, women have boobs.
Yeah, women.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
Boobs. All right, I'm going to save this question for sometime when Jess is on here, because it's about appearing on camera. Okay. Next question comes to us from Setsuho. Maybe I should have Megan read this name. I think I said that right. Setsuho. Wants to know what our opinion is on feminism and, related or not to feminism, breast implants. I consider myself a feminist, but I think feminism has kind of been hijacked by a very small vocal... group of women who kind of represent the anti-man, you know, brigade. Yeah. And that's what kind of turns people off to it, where feminism at its core is just that women are equal with men. Right.
It's like any ism is, you can take it too far. You know what I mean? Like, it bothers me when women are like, oh, well, you wear pink, so you are evil and you stand for everything that is evil in the world. And it's like, no, I just... independently decided that I like pink and I bought the shirt and I wore it. Sure. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't think
there are different waves of feminism too. So, we're on the third wave right now, which is I can wear hooker heels and kick your butt at a video game and have a graduate degree.
Exactly. I think just ideally women should do whatever they feel like doing, you know, whether it fits in with what guys are supposed to do or girls are supposed to do, you know. If you want to play a first-person shooter while holding on to your Hello Kitty doll, go for it. That's how I feel.
Now, implants, I have to admit, I'm not crazy about. I think that it gives sort of an unhealthy body image. But if you're, say, a cancer patient or you have to get... you know, mastectomy or whatever it's called. You know, that's one thing. Like that's for your own personal image. But and there's still a problem with a lot of women thinking they need to be Pamela Anderson and all that kind of thing. And in video games, it is a little frustrating because you've got these unrealistically bodacious babe women, and you just, you know. But to be fair, as someone pointed out on my blog, you know, Kratos is like the male fantasy, you know, where it's just big and buff and swaggering jock.
That bothers me sometimes when people go on and on about women being objectified in games. And they are. You can't say that they're not. But it's like, I mean, look at Arkham Asylum. He's huge and he's wearing skin tight, like leather. And like, I'm not saying no to that. Yeah. So,
it is interesting that there's, you know, a whole image, like body image thing to maintain. So,
yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on the breast implant thing about mastectomy and stuff. I mean, obviously, just like you said, women should do whatever they want to do. Yeah. I just fear that lots of times women who get breast implants for cosmetic reasons are doing it for kind of the wrong reason. You know, it's not really for them. It's for
attention. Just the thing is like with anything you do in your life, you know, just do it for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Don't do it because you think people will like you better or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like you'll automatically have some hot guy hit up on you. It'll still be sort of like an icky group of guys who just don't know any better than to leer at you. It's exactly the attention you really want.
Yeah. All right. Next question comes to us from Blair. Blair wants to know, what country or countries do we see as emerging powerhouses for producing games? So, like, you know, the U.S. and Japan are kind of, you know, considered to be powerhouses.
Korea has a ton of MMOs and video games that they make now. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen the past 3.5 years, like, they are constantly coming out with stuff.
They get a lot of stuff that we don't get over here, though, which is kind of a shame.
Yeah. I noticed China has stuff like Snail Games. Actually, it was on, PBS or something recently that are coming up. Who else? India's got a couple of stuff coming out, so...
Yeah. Canada. Everybody looks over. Like, I
poor
think
Canada.
They just get grouped in with the U.S.
That's true.
But Canada has a lot of really great developers. BioWare is up there. Right. Ubisoft Montreal is fantastic. You know, I mean. Right.
It's not their fault that they're America's top hat.
Yeah.
Sorry, Canada.
I mean that in a good way.
And there are lots of different European countries that are starting to jump into the fray, too, not just the UK, but like Finland and Sweden.
Yeah, they have had a lot of stuff coming out of those countries, too.
Yeah, so...
they've had some stuff out of Russia. C1 or 1C, I forget what it's called, but stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it could be any of those.
Yeah.
I do think Japan is on the decline. We've had that discussion before.
Yeah. And unfortunately, they're stuck in a rut and they can't seem to get out.
Yeah. Okay, next question comes to us from Travis. Travis wants to know what we think of the new Lara Croft. Well, I haven't seen very much, except for a couple pictures.
I've seen a couple of pictures, but she looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Looks kind of cool.
I don't like her hair. Games, I don't like her hairdo.
Yeah, her hair is kind of...
It's like a 60s shag type thing. Yeah.
They ditched the ponytail.
I think she's seems fine so far. It's also in the picture she's like all filthy and cut up and
I know they want to make her more realistic and gritty, but it's hard to tell until you actually see gameplay.
All right, next question comes to us from Abe wants to know if we have ever played a game that in one way or another taught us something in real life.
Yes, A Link to the Past. I know this sounds really stupid. It taught me to be a better person.
How did it teach you to be a better person? Not to throw chickens?
No, I do throw chickens all the time. No, I don't know.
That's Ocarina, anyhow.
Oh, you're right. It's Ocarina, my bad.
You can
bad.
Do that Sorry, in A Link to the Past as well.
Oh, okay.
You can. You can do it.
It's just any game that means a lot to you for whatever reason affects you as a person, whether you take on the morals or whatever from the game as your own, or if it just inspires you in some way. I think that games like A Link to the Past, one of my favorite games of all time, I don't know, I really felt like I'd gone on a journey after I played that game, like I was a braver person, which sounds so nerdy, but I don't know, it's true, it really did affect me. So,
yeah,
I would say, as silly as it sounds, Mass Effect has gotten me interested in science again. So even though a lot of this stuff is made up, it's really cool the concept that they do. And learned some interesting stuff from a game called 999, Nine Persons, Nine Doors.
Oh, yeah.
9 hours, Nine Persons, Nine Doors, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of funny. You learn little weird like facts that you didn't know before, and you're like, wow, this game is educating me. Does not rot your brain. Games educate you.
Yeah, I guess if I had to pick one, I would probably go with BioShock, because I think it kind of changed my tune a little bit about thinking what a completely unregulated society might look like and how that might be a problem.
Interesting.
As it was in Rapture. So, yeah. All right. We got time for one more. Okay. This one comes to us from Ozzy Mandis. Ozzy lives in Perth, Australia, and works as an accountant. He says that
his
girlfriend is outraged at the way he plays games on his PS3, saying that the lives of the characters he controls are actually living better lives than he is in real life. An example is that with GTA 4, he controls Nico as if he was a real person. He eats healthy, he sees his friends often, drives a speed limit, and is in bed by 10 every night. And obviously, Ozymandias does not do this in his real life, and his girlfriend is mad at him about that.
what is her question?
Yeah, he wants to know if he's taking these games too far.
Maybe you're just not taking your life far enough.
Yeah, I mean, he says he's going to school too. So, I mean, motivation is definitely a factor here, because, like, obviously, if you're enjoying a game, you're gonna, you know, put more time and effort into mm-hmm. it. Whereas, I don't know if accountant is your life dream or not, but I'm assuming it's not if you're going to school. So it's easy to understand yeah. why you'd be a little less yeah. motivated in that area.
Exactly.
But I think it's fine to play games the way that you do. I mean, it's totally everybody harmless. Can play yeah. games whenever they want. It's I mean, maybe you should, if you're really out of shape or don't eat enough or whatever, like, maybe you should spend a little bit more time paying to
but
that.
I doubt it's that yeah. extreme. No one has a problem when somebody is obsessed with sports and they watch it all the time.
Yeah.
But when someone's obsessed with games, it's a huge deal. So I don't yeah. know. If that's what you like to do, then do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and don't let your girlfriend tell you that.
Just yeah. get her addicted to it.
Unless you're sitting there totally neglecting her, like she's on the couch doing nothing.
She's on the couch crying because her grandmother just died. Maybe press pause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, make an effort. If she's a gamer, get her involved. Like the other person was saying, you know, what can I do to get my boyfriend involved? Find common ground in terms of video games that you like and play mm-hmm. them. And then she won't feel left out or that you're, you know, kind of pathetic.
Or maybe try and explain to her why you think it's cool, you know, if she's open to that. I don't know mm-hmm. if she's a gamer or whatever. But
yeah, if she's not a gamer, it might be harder. But I yeah. mean, if you're enjoying it and you're not neglecting your work or social life, then mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks so much for listening. A quick reminder again, Megan Geiser, the CEO of Her Interactive, will be here next week. So if you have any questions specifically for her, you can send those in to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can also send questions for us to that address. And we got through a lot of them today, which is pretty good. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow each of us individually on my IGN.
Yes. Oh, one request. More fan art. We're getting our butt kicked by everyone else. We used to be ahead, and now we don't have any fan art.
It's kind of shameful. Yeah.
It is kind of shameful. It makes me very sad. More girl fight art, please.
Yes. And in addition to that, thank you so much for listening, and we will be back with you next week.
Bye.